a secret. It's called
Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry. Pass it on. Howdy there. I'm Amelia Dalton from eejournal.com. And this week, my friends, high performance embedded computing is the name of the game. We're talking about military and aerospace. We're talking about comms. We're talking about Intel-based embedded processor boards. Please welcome Nigel Forrester from Concurrent Technologies. Oh yes, we're talking about all of this and more.
Hi, Nigel. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hello, Amelia. Yep, good to join you.
So first off, tell my audience a little bit about what Concurrent Technologies is all about.
Thank you. Well, Concurrent Technologies is a public company. We are headquartered in the UK in a town called Colchester, which is about 70 miles north of London, northeast of London, I should say. And we have been in the market for just over 30 years and are primarily known as a designer and manufacturer of Intel-based embedded open standards form factor cards. And we support a whole range of form factors, VPX, Compact PCI, Advanced MC, VME. And over our history, we've sort of concentrated predominantly on open standards and then built a portfolio of other things around those Intel-based processor boards.
All right, so let's talk about designing critical embedded systems, you know, defense, aerospace, communications markets. Now, you guys have a 3U VPX portfolio that can make my life as an engineer a bit easier. So tell me some details about that portfolio and how open standards from VIDA connects back.
Great question. Well, let's start with our focus area, which, as I said, is Intel-based processor cards. So fundamentally, they are very similar technology-wise to the sort of thing that you'll find in a laptop type of device. So similar sorts of processor capability. And that's one of the advantages, really, is that from an application point of view, if you have something that will run on a laptop or desktop type environment, it'll run on one of our embedded processor boards. But what we do is lots of things around that to help, especially in applications like aerospace and defense, military arena. So first of all, because of the form factors that we deal with, things like 3U VPX, obviously we're not just providing standard air-cooled, ground-benign type capable products. We supply products that will work at extended operating temperatures, minus 40 to plus 85 degrees C, right up to full rugged conduction-cooled environments. So there's quite a lot of skill and tests involved in doing that. And we actually do all that ourselves in our facility in the UK. And we actually make our own boards in the UK as well. So everything's very tightly controlled. You know, our designers and our production staff work very closely together to make sure that those products not only meet the standards, but are tested and proven to be such. And we actually put every product that we produce through full thermal cycling, for example, before we actually ship that to a customer. So that's really the starting basis, if you like, of the product. And then around that, we do quite a lot of additional capabilities. So first of all, support standard range of operating systems, build some tweaks around those to help our users. And then we have a number of additional things, good example being enhanced security. So in this type of space, security particularly today is a huge hot topic. And when we're building fundamentally things which are similar to laptops, there's a lot of general knowledge about how you could break into that type of environment or hack into it. And so we do some special things in both the hardware, the firmware that we provide to some of our customers to dramatically enhance the security of our products, such that if the end product gets into the wrong hands, it can be controlled and people can't upload things to this product or even see or grab information out of that product. So it's all about securing the IP that's on that product. And we do a lot of other things to make the product boot up quicker, to make it easier to use from a networking or inter-networking point of view, that try and turn it so that from the application side, the customer doesn't need to do much to make it work in a perhaps a multi-processor environment. And as I said, that's all based on Intel architecture products, but with a very great push, especially over the last few years, towards increasing the CPU and GPU capability on those products. Make it easy to build better applications within a small space.
Excellent. So I read recently that you guys added a new Express Fabric switch to your VPX portfolio. Now, what does that buy us as engineers?
Yeah, so that's a bit of a mouthful, isn't it? Express Fabric. So first of all, we have had a PCI Express-based switch in our 3U VPX product line for quite a while, and that's been very successful. It was a Gen 2 switch. So we've recently just announced that we've updated that to be compliant with PCIe Gen 3. So it supports up to 6 payload slots. And the bandwidth of the data plane to each of those slots is now Gen 3 standard. So that equates to 3.9 gigabytes per second of bandwidth. So that's all standard stuff. And it will work with any standard PCI Express payload card. The clever thing about it being Express Fabric capable is that typically, what we've had to do is design onto our processor cards, and some of our customers design onto their FPGAs and GPUs and DSP cards. If they want to architect them in a PCI Express environment, they might have to use a non-transparent bridge, because PCI Express fundamentally was designed to be a point-to-point protocol with a route. It's like an upturned tree structure, so you get one route at the top and then you get these nodes growing down. But if you want to have another route in that architecture, you have to have what's been called a non-transparent bridge. It becomes quite complex in the way that you transfer information between elements in that tree structure. So the good thing about Express Fabric is it is much more flexible. It means you can configure all that from the switch. So the actual payload cards don't need any of the non-transparent bridge capability. So you can, in its default mode, it looks exactly the same as a upturned tree structure, but you can set it up so you can have clusters within the same backplane environment. And you can also then do some really clever things and actually put some links between elements of those clusters. So effectively, it enables you, if you wanted to, you could dynamically change the topology of your system. The reality is, I doubt many of our, or any of our customers will do that, but they will configure the topology to suit their application of the day. And they might have one configuration where they have topology A and then another configuration with topology B. And they can actually do that by just changing the settings on the switch. And the other interesting feature it's got is it's got this very low latency way of passing messages between the elements. It's called tunneled windowed capability. That's very good because in a lot of high-performance embedded computing applications, information is passed between the processing elements as short messages, and the actual latency between initiating the message and it being received is critical. So it's quite well suited to some of the high-performance compute applications that we've seen customers trying to run in a VPX environment. So a new product, we're just announcing it. We'll be shipping initially air-cooled product and then throughout 2016 moving to full conduction-cooled.
Excellent. Well, Nigel, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, we were just speaking earlier about your volunteering at the Under 17 Car Club. Now, tell my audience what this car club is all about and how you became involved.
Yeah, this is interesting. So I come, obviously, probably detected from my accent, from the UK, so I'm an alien. But in the UK, you can't actually learn to drive until you're 17. And we have a big problem. Obviously, those of you who've had the opportunity to visit the UK will know we don't have particularly good roads, lots of bends. The weather's not quite as good as it is in some other places. It tends to be quite a little bit damp. And so we have a big problem with 17-year-old drivers having accidents because they get on the road at 17, they have a very small number of lessons, they pass their driving test, and then they're let out on their own. You know, they don't even have to have driven in the dark or on the freeway to pass the driving test. So there's quite a lot of concern about that and about how we can reduce that accident rate. And I have twin sons. When they were 13, 14 year olds, I was looking for a way of being able to give them some experience and found this Under 17 car club. We joined up, we had some great times, they got lots of experience of driving cars that I couldn't dream of, as well as my own car. They drove some trucks and to get experience of big vehicles, they went on skid pan training, we've driven our various race circuits, so it was great fun. And then as they've got a bit older and they've now been driving for a few years, I've actually volunteered as an instructor in the club. And it's a charity, so there's no government funding. There's a lot of reluctance even in the government to improve the driving education. But compared to some other European countries, the UK is behind, and I'm trying to put a little bit back. So I have fun too.
I love it. That would have been very, very helpful when I was less than 17. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Nigel.
Thanks, Amelia. Really enjoyed it.
You know what I hate about designing power supplies? Yep, just about everything. Luckily, I have experts who can help me just about any time that I want. And you know what? They can help you too. In a recent episode of Chalk Talk called Powering Non-Isolated 24-Volt Rail Applications Made Easy, I enlist the expertise of power supply pro Tennille Medley to help me unravel the mysteries of industrial power supply design. Yes. If you need a little help in this area, and I'm guessing you do, you can check out this episode of Chalk Talk by clicking the link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com, by heading on over to YouTube, keyword eejournal, or by navigating on over to the on-demand section of eejournal.com. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if Google Plus is your thing, well, yes, you can join our circle on Google Plus. We also have that YouTube channel I mentioned earlier, keyword EE Journal, chock full of all kinds of techie videos, our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series, and our video series called On the Scene. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. I'm just saying. By clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can also grab our Fish Frying RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of May 20th, 2016, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.